This podcast is brought to you by Perfect Smiles in Nashua, New Hampshire. Do what I did and update your smile. Call 844-A-PERFECT-SMILE. When you change your smile, you change your life.
Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
So it's with great honor and humility, I accept this nomination for President of the United States of America.
You did it. You crazy son of a bitch, you did it.
He delivered a speech whose themes fit far better in an acceptance speech from Ronald Reagan.
You sure about that?
For Lord's sake, this is the United States of America. And there's never been anything we've been able to accomplish when we've done it together.
There it is! There it is!
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
I'm Hunter Biden.
And I'm Ashley Biden.
Joe Biden is our dad.
His son walked out with $1.5 billion to manage. That's billions of dollars a year. And the son didn't even have a job before that. He walked out of there in 10 minutes with
marijuana joints, pills, Quaalude, Valium, yellow ones, red ones, cocaine grinder, drug needles.
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
Well, Mika, I'm really worried that there will be direct interference with the election through the manipulation of the Postal Service.
I thought surely you'd still be crushed under that house in Munchkinland.
Unchained and unstoppable.
We couldn't have done that deal had we stayed in this horrible deal done by John Kerry, who just had no clue as to negotiation.
I'm John Kerry, and I'm reporting for duty.
He never got up and walked. You can't, once he rode his bicycle, remember, he was in an accident. I promised at 73 years old, I said, I'll never be riding a bicycle. He had the helmet, he had the names, the insignias all over. He had insignias like he was a 20-year-old great cyclist from France.
Can I get out of here, please?
Rump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is in the house to answer your questions about dogs and cats. Just a couple of quick updates on the panic of 2020. 13 deaths today of COVID in Massachusetts. 8 of the 13 occurred in nursing homes, as always. That's about normal. We've now passed the grim milestone of 5,700 deaths, 5,701 deaths in the nursing homes out of 8,600. And has your child been told that he can't go to, or he or she can't go to UMass Amherst for the fall semester? Probably, if they're into UMass Amherst. The University of Massachusetts Amherst has started releasing its latest COVID-19 testing results following students moving into campus this week. In all, a total of 3,368 tests were conducted as of August 20th, yesterday. Of those, there were 3 cumulative positive cases and 1 new positive. 1 new positive case out of 3,368. And the school is more or less shut down. Kind of like the state of Massachusetts.
It's a grim statistic. They're always grim.
It's a grim milestone. It has to be a milestone. All right. Okay. 844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is here. He's the house veterinarian of the Howie Carr Show. And he's here to answer any of your questions about your pet. And again, Dr. Matt, I thank you for taking care of Gunnar so well in her last days. And you kept her alive for an extra few months, for sure.
Well, it was my privilege.
And she, you know, it's good. And I want you to take that food with you tonight.
Get it out of the way.
I'm trying to talk the mailroom manager into getting another dog, but she wants to wait a little while.
Most people get Kowloons when they come in here. I get Purina.
So I'm doing fine, though. I miss her. But
it is tough, yeah. We were talking about it earlier, about how people respond to their pet's death. And veterinarians actually go to a lot of grief counseling seminars, and I thought there was a great line from a psychiatrist a couple of years ago when she said, people say that pet death is like a death in the family, and she said, that's wrong. She goes, it is a death in the family. And I really thought that was well put, because I think that, certainly when I've had a pet pass away, I've been a lot more upset than, you know, some of my relatives.
Yeah, people you don't see.
People that you don't see and don't really think about that much.
Yet. Right. You think about the animal. Yeah, so it's you know, again, thanks for everything, and you did a fantastic job, and you did keep her alive. And where can people go if they need your services?
I'm at the Ipswich Animal Hospital, and our number is 978-948-8189.
Do us one more. Give it again.
978-948-8189.
Okay. 844-500-4242 if you have a question, and you can also text us the questions too. That's an easy way to get that if you can't stay on the line. Just text Howie to 63566 and get it, and you can get in. And anything people need to be thinking about as the summer winds down a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, if kids actually are going back to school, we start to see dogs with some behavioral problems associated with kids going back to school, especially
really?
With this COVID, where the dogs have had so much attention and so much activity around the house. Suddenly, you know, when the house empties out again, we tend to see a lot of behavior problems in springtime when kids come home for the summer, and then when in fall when kids head off to school.
How about the pounds? Are they still empty? Are people starting to return return the pets?
You know, the New England shelters have always been fantastic about getting the pets adopted out, and so good that actually most of the pets that come into New England come in from other areas of the country. So there's always animals from Alabama and Mississippi and Florida that needs home,
right.
And Georgia too. So
and then there's the hurricane season. You might
Absolutely.
Get some from the islands.
Yep. Yeah. Oh yeah, and you know the first big influx of dogs from the south was the New Orleans hurricane. That wasn't
Katrina.
That was it. Yeah.
Yeah,
that was the first time we saw a lot come in from the south.
844-500-4242 if you have any questions for Dr. Matt. Linda, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Linda.
Hi, Howie and Dr. Matt.
Hi.
I have a 6-year-old rescue cat. I got him from a rescue organization because there weren't any other cats left in the shelters
right.
recently. And I've had him for about 6 months, and he's warmed up to me slowly. But this last week, he started defecating in the living room. And, you know, I've put boundary down and all that other stuff. And so I guess I need some advice.
Sure. How many litter boxes do you have in your house?
I have 2.
Okay. On that floor or on a different floor?
On a different floor in the basement.
Yeah.
I'm not going to put I don't want to put a litter box in the living room.
No, I understand that completely. Although cats, what I've had a good luck with is putting a litter box near where they're going to the bathroom and slowly moving it to where you want. Cats are sometimes, they don't like where the litter box is, and this is how they protest. Certainly, if I'm assuming the cat's been evaluated a couple of times going through the shelter process,
yes.
So I'm just presuming that it's healthy.
Right.
It's not having diarrhea or anything. So let's
if we're going to presume this
is behavioral, that's the first thing I'd try. If you have a covered litter box, I'd take the cover off. If you don't have a covered litter box,
okay.
I'd put a cover on it. You want to just change things to see what the
okay.
cat wants.
Okay, good luck, Linda.
Okay, thanks.
603 says, I have a question. I have an 11-week-old German Shepherd puppy. My doctor is recommending the pain hip assessment for hip dysplasia, and if positive, and the juvenile pubic, I don't know what that is.
Symphodesis.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is one of the few times when you can really step in and do something about hip dysplasia in a young dog that can affect them for their entire life, and the procedure is very simple. So I'm absolutely German Shepherd has a very high rate of hip dysplasia, up to 30%. So you really have almost a 1 in 3 chance of
and that can really cut down on their lifespan, right?
It can make them painful their entire life, and then you euthanize them early because they can't walk. So this
yeah.
is where you can step in. So I'm 4 square for checking these guys young.
Okay. Thanks for the text. Again, 63566. Gretchen, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Gretchen.
Hi, Dr. Matt. Thank you.
Hi, Gretchen.
Hi, Howie. How are
Hi.
You?
Good.
I would like to ask you if I'm doing something wrong. I do not own a pet now. I've been trying to find a rescue from a shelter since the middle of March. I have had no luck. I've sent out tons of applications. I've been approved, and I'm just absolutely beating a dead horse here.
Okay, what are you trying to, a dog or a cat?
I want a dog.
Okay.
I'd like a dog, a small female, 1 to 4 years.
Sure.
Doesn't matter what it looks like. Right. I just would like, and I'm, what am I doing wrong?
Well, they do put you through the ringer to try to make sure that, but if you've been approved, then I don't see any reason why you couldn't get one, but I would just keep trying, honestly. I think there's probably a dog out there for you. You know, having been an adopter of dogs and children, I will tell you the right one will come along at the right time.
Okay.
Oh, I certainly hope so. I thought you had a magic idea for me.
You don't have any particular place that's got a lot of them, do you?
I don't know. All the shelters, they tend to have pulses of dogs, and then they sort of empty out. So you just need to keep the drumbeat up, and then you'll hit it just right, and they'll have something for you.
You tried to Pug Rescue of New England, Gretchen?
Sorry?
Pug Rescue of New England. Prone, it's called.
It's a good idea. It's a size that I want.
Yeah, it is. That's what
Pug
I was
Rescue
saying.
Of New England.
Yeah, P-R-O-N-E. I checked them out a couple of weeks ago just to see what they had, and they had
they had a bunch
of dogs, but they only had one pug. So check them out, Gretchen.
Maybe a puggle.
Yeah.
Thanks for that tip.
Thanks, Gretchen. Lori, you're next. Or we'll take a break, and then we'll come right back. I didn't know how far along we were. 844-500-4242. And if you want to call Dr. Matt, his number is 978-948-8189. I'm Howie Carr.
Keep it here. The captain will be back after this.
Hi, this is Val from Long Meadow, Mass.
Hi, this is Tony and Pietra from Havel, Massachusetts.
This is Murnie in Fairfax County, Virginia, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Talking about erectile dysfunction isn't easy. Good thing Roman makes treating erectile dysfunction simple, safe, and from the comfort of your own home. Get a free online evaluation today at GetRoman.com/Howie. If approved, you'll get $15 off your first order of erectile dysfunction treatment. GetRoman.com/Howie. Jared, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which Joe Biden insult best describes you? Damn liar, fat, junkie, ain't black, or lying dog-faced pony soldier?
I'm a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
46% of the audience is as well. Second place is Ain't Black at 36%.
All right. We're with Dr. Matt, the house vet of the Howie Carr Show, the house horse doctor, as they used to say in the South, as I just discovered reading a book. That's what they used to call vets, because most of their work was horses, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
This pet segment is brought to you by Genesis 950. I know a lot of you have issues with your dogs or cats having accidents around the house, like Linda, the first one we talked to. In fact, I'm sure we're going to hear all about those issues. We already are. Before you get a new carpet, try Genesis 950. You can use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including a spray bottle and free shipping. That's genesis950.com. Enter code Howie. Pat, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Pat. You there, Pat?
Hi, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Pat.
Yes. So my wife and I as well have a rescue from Mississippi. She's 9 months old now. We got her in around April.
Dog or cat?
So my wife was able to bring her to work, you know, for a while with her because of the whole COVID thing. But she's really hot and cold with me. Sometimes she's great, and then other times she'll bark at me like she doesn't even know me. I don't know if you had any ideas.
Yeah, I mean, I think that dogs tend to be a little bit more threatened by men, which is one of the reasons that no client ever comes into my clinic and says, hey, you know, no guy comes in and says, hey, the dog's behaving for the wife and kids, but ignores me. They, you know, they're a little bit more fearful of the guy, bigger person, deeper voice. And your dog may have bonded to your wife and is now actually protecting her from you. So sometimes you need a little alone time with the dog. You need to start doing training stuff with the dog so the dog is listening to your voice and obeying. That establishes a little bit more of a relationship. Treats don't hurt either. You can, you know, whoever said you can't buy friends never owned a dog. You know, you can
buy friends.
Okay, so I need the better treats.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Talk to Howie about that. He's the expert.
Short ribs just immediately came to mind. Chicken tenders. Yeah. Butcher box. anything.
Chicken fingers.
Chicken fingers are fantastic. Pesto chickens. It's a good way. Good way to a dog's heart, too. Pat, thanks for the call. My dog passed away in March. Has the doctor seen a lot of animals passing away in the months of March and April, maybe due to the Kung flu?
I don't think so. I don't think we've seen any great increase. I do think there's some form of biorhythm. I do tend to think we see more deaths around the shortest days of the year. So Christmas, New Year's, we do tend to see a little bit more deaths.
My dog is scared to have his nails clipped. He wears down 3 of 4 paws but won't let us clip his one paw. What should I do? That's for me.
Either a groomer or a veterinarian, probably your best bet. Yeah, you need to, I mean, untrimmed nails can eventually become a health issue. Veterinarians, at least our clinic, doesn't mind being the bad guy and going ahead and trimming them. Then you can be the good guy.
Lori, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Lori.
Hi, Dr. Matt. Hi, Howie. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have 3 cats, and one of the cats has a very bizarre behavior that he's had for a few years. Mostly in the evening, he attacks his backside as if he's being bit by something and will actually run in circles, like almost like he's chasing his tail. And from what I can find out online, it may be like hyperesthesia.
The term is called hyperesthesia and is the opposite of anesthesia. So they're...
Okay.
A cat with hyperesthesia feels pain, and it's called non-noxious stimuli. So if you're petting them, then they feel pain, and that really it is a good thing to bring to the attention.
So you can't pet the dog? You can't pet?
Yeah, you scratch them, and they cry, or they attack you because they're actually painful.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I used to think the cat... Yeah. So, you know... Once upon a time, you'd go, okay, well, the cat's just being a jerk. Well, but they've done studies on these guys, and the pain the pain areas in their brain light up when you touch them.
So. I learned something every segment here with Dr. Matt. 617, our 15-year-old Puggle was tested for Cushing, and it was negative. What could cause her to be so thirsty? She's still very active, walks every day. What is Cushing?
Cushing's disease is the opposite of Addison's disease, which is what President Kennedy had. This is an overactive adrenal gland. It's usually caused by a small pituitary tumor, which is signaling the adrenal to make too much cortisol. Cortisol will drive a dog's thirst up. So this is negative for Cushing, so... I'm assuming that the dog's been tested for kidney disease and is testing negative for kidney disease. So there's a couple of things left. There's 2 forms of diabetes. Generally, we think of diabetes as sugar in the urine, but there's another form of diabetes called diabetes insipidus, where the dog is now no longer responding to the hormone that tells the kidney to concentrate urine and reserve water back in the body. And then some dogs just develop a behavioral desire to drink a lot of water, and that goes by a bunch of fancy names. But psychogenic water consumption, or the fancy term is called primary polydipsia.
We got a lot of people want to talk. We're coming up on the break. Hang on, everybody. We're going to get to everybody next segment. 781, we have a 14-year-old female rat terrier that has seizures when she walks into direct sunlight. We think it may be focal seizures. Is there any treatment available?
I definitely would consult your veterinarian. There's plenty of anti-seizure medications out there, and you might be able to find something that works.
All right. 844-500-4242. What's your number, Dr. Matt?
978-948-8189.
All right. We'll be right back with Dr. Matt and your questions. Hang on, everybody. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
Here's a text for Gretchen. She's the one who said she hasn't had any luck adopting a pet. We adopted a wonderful little mutt from Mississippi through NISHA. I don't know what NISHA. Mm-hmm. You know what that is? They have a wonderful relationship with a rescue group in Mississippi. The program is called Land to Sea Pet Rescue.
There you go.
Okay, so Gretchen, there you go. There's another. Another option.
Yeah, there's so many small rescues now. And really, if you look around and apply to a bunch of them, I think you'll hit the right one.
Yeah. 844-500-4242. Kathleen, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Kathleen. You there?
Hi, Howie. Hi, Dr. Matt.
Hi, Kathleen.
I have a 11-year-old
West Highland Terrier, who's the sweetest dog. And we do brush her. Well, I brush her every night. And over the last few months, what's been happening is on the front of her paws.
Yeah.
When I brush, she pulls away. She has been letting me do it. But for the last few nights, I've actually had to stop.
Yeah. Okay.
Because she growls at me, but she's not a growler. And,
right.
You know, she kind of like gums me with her teeth. So I know I'm not doing a good thing.
Yeah. yeah, that's an indication. Okay, so is she licking at her feet at all, or is it just she's objecting to you brushing her?
She licks very seldomly.
Okay.
I would say.
Okay, and she's not having any problems with walking or anything like that, because at this age they can have arthritis in their joints and wrist, or you know, their wrist bones are where, probably near where you're brushing.
So West Highland, that's not that old. Is that old for a West Highland Terrier?
Well, it's not ancient. However, you know, you're expecting some geriatric issues at 11, and you know, terriers kind of want what they want anyway. I mean, it certainly could be something as simple as, you know, the old physician's joke, "Hey doc, it hurts when I do this." Well, then don't do that.
Right.
And so certainly you don't want to brush. You don't want to do what your dog doesn't want to have done. And I don't think brushing their feet is critically important. So, but I would be wary at 11 that there could be arthritis issues. And I think at this point, I'd at least go ahead and have it evaluated.
Okay. Thank you, Kathleen.
Yeah, so she does have arthritis. Oh, okay.
Oh, she does. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Kathleen. 844-500-4242. Shannon, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Shannon.
Much for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a problem with my poodle. He's 13 years old and he suddenly has a limp.
Yep.
And
front
I've taken him the front paw,
okay.
His front right paw,
yeah.
And I've taken him for x-rays.
Yeah.
They couldn't really find anything. They're chalking it up to maybe arthritis, and they're treating him for that. But I really, in my gut, don't think it's just arthritis.
Sure. And when you treated him, did he get immediately better, or did you notice any real improvement?
No, they've been giving him Remedil,
yeah.
But then his liver enzymes were high,
sure.
So they took him off Remedil and put him on Galliprant.
Yep. Both are very good pain relievers. But generally, I think of, you know, even when I'm sort of seeing a lame dog and want to evaluate them for arthritis, you know, one of the things you can try him on is one of these non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs that you've been using. But usually they will improve mm-hmm. pretty rapidly. If they're not improving, I think you might want to think about, you know, barking up another tree. I think your intuition might be right that this is either arthritis plus something or more, you know, or something different.
Thank you, Shannon. By the way, we got another text, NISHA. That stands for Nantucket Island Safe Harbor Animal Shelter.
I would not have gotten that one.
I know. We did not know that. Thank you for the follow-up, because that solved us, solved our problem. It solved Gretchen's problem, too. Nantucket Island Safe Harbor Animal Shelter, NISHA. Okay, 844-500-4242. Tom, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Tom.
Hello, Howie.
Hi.
Hi. My wife and I, we work with a shelter in Arkansas, ulpr.org, Unconditional Love Pet Rescue, and we've already saved about 5,000 dogs, and if people go online, they can live stream and see Diane's pets. She's given up pretty much her whole life to save all these animals. And
wow, what is it, ulpr.org?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Amazing woman. I'm honest to God. I mean, she's given up her life to take care of dogs that people surrender. Or, you know, we picked up little animals that are like, you know, strayed or out in the woods out there in Arkansas and bring them back.
You know, you're really right. Yeah. The people down there should be sainted.
Really? So what do you have to do if you... is that an Arkansas dog. Is that a Razorback dog that's barking there, Tom?
Yeah, I wish, but no. I mean, but Diane is a Ferguson. She's a fantastic woman. She gives her whole heart and soul to save these animals. And I mean, we have, I mean, all of my close friends and family, oh God, we probably have like 40, 50 dogs from wow. up there in Massachusetts.
Yep.
Okay, we'll check. We'll tell her to check that out, ulpr.org. And apparently, Tom says you can live stream and just see these dogs and just maybe pick one out if you're having a problem down here up here, because we know that the pounds were pretty much cleaned out, weren't they, during the height of this thing?
People really took it upon themselves to go ahead and adopt dogs and cats. It was really terrific. So
yeah. Okay, thanks for that tip, Tom. So Gretchen's got a couple of leads here, you know. George, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, George.
Hey, Howie, I love your show. I've been listening for a long time.
Thank you.
I've got a 9-year-old pug with wicked bad breath.
Yes.
Teeth. I'm going to say teeth.
Can I leave? Howie's taking over this segment.
But am I right?
Absolutely correct. That's the first place I'd look. Yeah.
Yeah. So what? Explain to him what his options are.
Well, I mean, you should bring this dog to a veterinarian to be evaluated. Cleaning their teeth is pretty straightforward. Pugs are a little bit of a danger to put under anesthesia, but we do it anyway because cleaning their teeth and getting their rotten teeth out of there is really going to help their comfort and help their breath and help their health.
Yeah, and what we had to do was, and both Pearl and Gunnar had to have most of the teeth taken out as time went on. So I think that's the way it's headed, George. But you know maybe you can get away with just having them the teeth cleaned one or two more times.
Yeah, at nine. Yeah.
Yeah. Before you have to make that step.
Right.
But you know, I noticed with Gunnar and Pearl both, they still kept eating the meat. You know, I just had to cut it up a little finer. You know, that's all to make.
I tell my clients it's not going to prevent your dog from going out and killing their dinner, right? You know, it has no effect on that whatsoever.
All right, George, thanks. Glad I could be of help. Mariana, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Mariana.
Hi. So, we just rescued a kitten from a restaurant that specialized in seafood and Hispanic food, and she's about 6 months old, and she seems healthy. Otherwise, she has a good appetite, but she's been having like very like borderline diarrhea stool. But it's I'd say like the consistency of soft serve ice cream, and I was just wondering if
has the kitten been to the veterinarian yet?
No, we just got her a couple days ago.
Yeah, got to go right away. Most of these cats, kittens, will have parasites that the veterinarian can deal with pretty quickly. And at this age, certainly needs a rabies. It's usually an oral liquid. But they certainly need their vaccinations too. Distemper and rabies, most importantly. Rabies, very importantly. So please make an appointment as quickly as you can and get them seen by a veterinarian.
Yeah, I made the appointment for her to get spayed and all those, but should I make like an emergency appointment?
Well, I think that you know, you should consult your veterinarian, tell them what's going on. They may just go ahead and prescribe a worm medication for you, or they may want to see them, and it's sort of their choice at this point. You know, veterinarians will have a different decision-making process, but many of them will just prescribe it for you.
Thanks, Mariana. Good luck. Gary, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Gary.
Hey, Dr. Mack. Hi, Howie.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Listen, I've got a 13-and-a-half-year-old Sheltie. She's been diagnosed now with a collapsed trachea.
Yes.
I've got her taking some medications. I was just calling to see if you had any ideas on what treatments there might be for her.
Yeah, so collapsing trachea is one of those diseases where you're highly unlikely to find a cure. You're going to try to manage this. And so the first I approach this as multi-drug management. Veterinarians, there's like 48 drugs out there that veterinarians will use, but the ones I sort of count on are a good cough suppressant, which is usually an opiate. So I like Hycodan. That's the one I typically use. I try to put the dog or give them an injection of a chondroitin MSM or glucosamine supplement, so it will help strengthen their trachea. And then you can actually use a product that helps sort of decrease the sensitivity of the nerves in their trachea. It's called Tessalon Pearls, and you can give that to them, and that seems to help too. Some of these dogs wind up needing surgery. Tessalon Pearls, yeah. And That's an old-time medication. It's actually a lidocaine.
Is it trachea? Product. That's serious, though?
Well, what happens when the trachea shuts down, you do have a little bit of trouble moving air.
But isn't that just...
No, this is beyond that, where the trachea actually flattens out, and so they'll cough to pop it back open. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so okay, so it is more serious.
Yeah, and it's a weakness in the tracheal cartilage, and that happens with age, and we deal with it in quite a few older dogs.
Okay, thank you, Gary. Farmer John says, does Dr. Matt have a suggestion for Australian heeler rescues? What is that? What's an Australian heeler?
You got me.
You know,
I don't know if we're being played, but
I don't know either. But Farmer John texts all the time, so I don't think we're being played.
I don't think it's some breeds are just aren't popular enough to have their own rescue. So
right. Okay, so sorry about that, Farmer John. We can't help you there. Ann, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Ann.
Hey, Dr. Matt. I'm calling about my 14-year-old cat, or about 14.
Yep.
We found her years ago in our backyard, and yep. All of a sudden she's not eating, and she's very thin. So I started mixing wet food in with her regular food.
Sure.
And that only... doesn't work that much anymore. She just eats a little.
Yeah.
She's probably eating a quarter cup of food a day.
Yeah. What's her water consumption like?
Good.
Okay.
Water consumption is good.
Okay. So this is definitely something that needs to be evaluated by a veterinarian. You know, there's certain old age cat diseases. We sort of think of, you know, I call them the four horsemen of the feline apocalypse, and it's, you know, cancers and thyroid disease and diabetes and so you know, you need to look at one of those. So kidney disease, diabetes, cancer, and thyroid disease. So
all
usually
right.
One of those.
Good luck, Ann. 844-500-4242. Dr. Matt is with us. What's your phone number if people want to call you when you're in service?
My clinic is the Ipswich Animal Hospital, and we're at 978-948-8189.
All right. We'll be right back. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Mark in Williston, Vermont.
This is Marie in Somerville, Massachusetts.
This is Mike from South Attleboro, Mass. And this is the Howie Carr Show.
This pet segment is brought to you by Genesis 950. I know a lot of you have issues with your dogs and cats having accidents around the house. We've been hearing about it tonight, as always. In fact, I'm sure we're going to hear all about it. We have been. But before you get a new carpet, try Genesis 950. You can use it in a carpet cleaning machine, and it's green, so it's safe for family and pets. Order a gallon direct at genesis950.com. Enter code Howie to get more than a $10 value in savings, including a spray bottle and free shipping. That's genesis950.com. Enter code Howie, genesis950.com, code Howie. So let's take a few more calls here for Dr. Matt. Again, the number is 844-500-4242. Someone says it's a Australian cattle dog. That's what they call it.
There we go.
What Farmer John was calling an Australian heeler. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the most driven dogs. I mean, there's dogs that feel a sense of duty, but Australian cattle dogs are driven like no others to herd.
Really?
And they will herd your
children,
your dogs.
More than a border collie or Shetland sheepdog?
Border collie might be close, but a cattle dog is the highest drive I've ever seen.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. Will not quit. There's no quit in a cattle dog. So
yeah, I remember seeing a border collie way back when. I couldn't believe it. I had a Shetland sheepdog,
right.
And that was kind of like, it was a little bit of that, but not
right.
Not like
and these
a border
cattle
dog, collie.
These cattle dogs are 35, 40 pounds, and they're cattle dogs, right? You know, they're not sheepdogs.
Yeah.
So they're moving cattle around. They got to be tough.
They're faster.
Faster and a little bit, you know, saltier.
Dana, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Dana.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'll try to give as many details quick as I can. So we have this cat, Sheba. She's 9 years old. She seems to get stomach upset sometimes after she eats. One day she was foaming at the mouth late at night. Foam was coming out of her mouth. Wasn't eating. We took her to a clinic. And they did x-rays and ultrasound and everything, and they said she might either has irritable bowel syndrome or she might have cancer in her intestines.
Yes.
And they also said one of her lungs looked suspect. We had to force feed her or feed her with a syringe for a while. We got her eating again, gave her fluids and everything, but she can't eat, like, solid food. She can only eat cat pate, and if you give her anything else, she starts choking. We have to hold her upside down, and then she spits out foam and saliva.
Yeah. So
what do you think that might be?
So her vomiting may have caused something in her esophagus. This actually sounds more like an esophagus problem than a GI problem, although it certainly could be both. Older cats with long-term vomiting issues, it's very, very common that they have either inflammatory bowel disease that can become GI lymphoma, so lymphoma in their intestine. But I think what your cat has in addition to that is maybe an esophageal stricture or something like that, and you need to have them sort of reevaluated. In even the test that I would do for this is called an endoscopy, and an upper GI endoscopy to look for this.
All right, thanks. Good luck, Dana. Sharon, you're next with Howie Carr and Dr. Matt. Go ahead, Sharon.
Hi, how are you guys tonight?
Good.
Good. So I have a 14-year-old chocolate lab, not a chocolate lab, but a brown lab.
Okay.
And we just found out that she has melanoma.
Right, where?
It's in her mouth and it's on her gum line.
Right.
And the vet says possibly, it's not very big. It's probably about as big as a grape.
Okay.
And the vet says that we have about 4 weeks.
Sure. No, 4 weeks left or 4 weeks to do something?
Four weeks left.
Okay. Did they do x-rays or anything like that? Did they see x-rays in her lung, tumor in her lungs or anything like that?
They didn't. They just did a piece of the melanoma that's on her mouth.
Yeah. So
and confirmed that it is melanoma, and they said that they are pretty sure that it's probably throughout her body because of the type of melanoma.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be safe to put her under.
Okay. So I mean, if you wanted to evaluate that further, you know, there's plenty of referral places that have cancer specialists. There's actually still a lot you can do with melanoma. I'm not saying that your dog is necessarily the appropriate candidate.
Should she get a second opinion?
I think a second opinion does make sense. There are actually vaccines for melanoma, and there's plenty of drug therapy for melanoma and surgical therapy. So I definitely would, if you know, at 14, you want to be pragmatic. You don't want to be too crazy because 14 is very aged. But I think you have some options.
Okay, we're out of time. Sorry we couldn't get to all the callers. Dr. Matt, your phone number one more time.
At the Ipswich Animal Hospital, I'm at 978-948-8189.
Okay, and thanks again for taking such good care of Gunnar. We'll see you next month. I'm Howie Carr.